There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Readers recommend.
With us in the studio today, we have the wonderful Annabel Cantaria. No stranger to talking of books, but for anybody tuning in who isn't familiar with your work or what you do, I know you're a writer. Would you mind introducing yourself? And if you're too humble, we'll fill in the gaps.
I'm an author. I've written 4 books, which are psychological thrillers. Do you want the names of them all?
Yes.
Okay. The first one was called Coming Home. That was published in 2015. And then the second one was The Disappearance, then The One That Got Away, and the latest one, which came out recently, is called I Know You.
And can I just say, I really enjoyed I Know You. I do think your books have got progressively better.
Thank you.
And I Know You, that had me hooked. That was, I had to read it at one sitting once, so thank you.
Thank you so much for saying
really
that.
Enjoyed it.
But I do feel as well that my books have got better.
Yeah.
It's like doing a degree
as a sort of insult
public.
To the first ones.
There's nothing wrong
they were
with
good.
The first ones.
No,
thank you.
Nothing wrong, but.
But it is like doing your degree in public when you're learning to write. So the first book was sort of like my first year, and I feel that I've now graduated from
my PhD, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, I've got another one, or 2 more still to publish. So
great. But I Know You, I really did enjoy
thank
that.
You.
But the first one, Coming Home, was the one that won you the Montegrappa Prize. In
yes.
What year?
I think the prize was in 2013. And then it took me 2 more years to actually write the book, get the publishing deal and get the book published, which takes a long time. You know, after they've actually received the manuscript, there's a lot of time that and effort that goes in on the part of the publisher before it comes out. So it was 2015.
But you had your manuscript finished, didn't you, when you entered the competition?
No. I so didn't.
Oh, I thought you did.
You were one of the rebels.
Oh, but you finished it.
Luigi
made loads of changes, didn't
my
he?
Name as winner, I just sat there thinking, oh my goodness, was there anything in the rules that said you had to finish the book? Because I hadn't. And he said that was a good thing because he wanted me to change it. So I basically started again after I won. And it took me about 9 months to write the book.
But for anybody listening who wants to enter the Montegrappa Prize, do
indeed.
Finish it.
Well, yeah,
before you.
We don't ask you to finish it before you enter, but it would be great if you actually had the intention to finish it.
Yes, exactly. Oh my goodness, I was so fired up to finish it.
Yeah.
I just remember Luigi saying to me, "Well, this is all great, Annabelle. So how fast can you write?" And there's nothing like putting a rocket up you to have an agent waiting in London to you know, read your manuscript. So I worked very, very fast then.
But it's been a great success story. And I know that, you know, your last publishing deal was a really, really good one. So that's just such brilliant, brilliant news.
I've been very lucky and very fortunate with my publisher, HQ Stories in London, which is part of HarperCollins. Mm-hmm. I had a 3-book deal and then they renewed it with a new 3-book deal. So 6 books, all off the back of the Montegrappa competition at the Litfest.
Oh, excellent.
Would you mind just mentioning a few details for listeners who are wondering how they can get in on the Montegrappa Prize?
Absolutely. So you can submit your entries now if you go to the website, emirateslitfest.com. There's a competitions tab and that will tell you exactly what you need to do. But basically, you need a 400-word synopsis and you need the first 2,000 words of your manuscript and you need to pay a small fee and you submit those things and everything is sent to Luigi. There's no filtering out by us. I always like to make that very clear that we don't go through anything and decide randomly not to send it. Luigi does see everything.
So if that isn't sat there going, oh, that's rubbish.
Correct. That's rubbish. Correct. Thankfully, I don't even need to open them and read them. I can just put them all in a document and off they go to Luigi. So, I don't look at them.
And emirateslitfest.com for more information about the Montegrappa Prize. Now, Annabel is here not just as a writer, but she's putting her reader hat on today because you can't really be a writer unless you're also an excellent reader. Now, you're in a book club, I think?
Yes, I run the book club.
You run the book club?
I run the book club,
so
yes.
Do you always set all the books?
No, it's a very different type of a book club, actually.
Okay,
we
explain
don't have,
how your book club works.
Yeah, well, we don't have set books that you have to read because I really believe that reading should be for enjoyment. And there's nothing worse to me to be told what to read. So I just said, no, we're not going to do it like that. So we have 6 people in the book club and every month somebody hosts it and that hostess buys 2 or 3 or 4, however many books take her fancy, to present to the book club that month. And she should have read them ideally, but we still love her if she doesn't read them. And she presents them to us and then it's like a mobile library. So then everybody else can just pick one of the books, the new ones or the old ones that are in this. It's a suitcase, actually. It's a tatty green suitcase full of books.
It's an enormously heavy tatty green suitcase.
It is. I have to just confess here that Yvette has been a member of my book club.
I have. And so she
knows
it, actually.
Knows yeah. it well.
Feeling yeah. a little bit left out.
And then what happens is the other people around the table then discuss the books they took from the suitcase. And so everybody gets to read all the same books at their own speed. And, you know, one month you might not feel like reading what everyone else is reading, and that's perfectly fine, you know. So it's quite a relaxed book club. Sometimes people don't read any books that month, but they can still come and talk because they've read other books in the suitcase.
Now, you're here to recommend 5 books that make good discussion fodder, basically, for book clubs.
Oh, now you tell me. Yeah. I just picked my favourites.
All your favourites. Your favourites are fine as well. But I just wondered if there were ever any books that were divisive.
There has been one book that we love to hate in our book club. And I have to put my hand up here and say I have not read it. And it's The Girl... Oh, gosh, I've forgotten the name of it. Hold on.
A Girl is a Half-Formed Thing.
That's the one. Thank you. Which is written in a very strange way. It's very fragmented. Have you read it, Yvette?
I have read it. I mean,
did I make you read it when you joined?
Yes, you did.
Sorry about that.
Is it Imam McBride?
Yeah, Imam McBride. I was told I couldn't come back the next month unless I'd actually taken the book. And it's just a sort of bit of a trick they play.
Oh,
it's
I'm
a bit
impressed.
Cruel, really.
I'm impressed yeah. you read it.
It's not a long read, and no. I don't think I understood a word of it, to be honest. It was just words on the page.
Yeah. Well, I've read reviews that say that it's uncompromising and brilliant, but...
I think that's people who just didn't understand it. Sorry, Emma, that's terrible.
Do you think it's like Emperor's New Clothes?
Yeah, I do.
I remember trying to read The Lesser Bohemians and really struggling with that one. I think it's just her style. You either love it or you hate it, I think, sometimes. I often find she's a bit of a Marmite author.
Well, that's what I was going to say. She is, because there's a lady in our book club who's also now moved overseas, and she loved it. But I just looked at the prose and thought, I've got a life. I haven't got time to read this. But all things being equal, if I didn't have anything to do all day and write books and stuff, I would sit and read it. For sure I would. But I couldn't face it.
Now, I think the first book that you're going to recommend as one of your favourites is one that I disagree with about a very close friend of mine. So what's the first book you're talking about?
I've chosen The Rosie Project by Graham Simsion, and I'm shocked to hear your friend doesn't like it, because there is nothing not to like about this
book.
That's
what I told her.
Can we mention her name, or is that name and shame?
No, I'm going to be kind.
Oh, all right then, okay.
Well, I found it a very light and happy read. It made me laugh. I felt it in my heart, you know, I felt the characters. And so I can't understand why your friend doesn't like it.
For anyone who doesn't like the Rosie Project, for anyone who is unfamiliar with the Rosie Project, which I think most people have read it, but would you mind just giving us a brief synopsis?
Yes, sure. It's about a scientist called Don Tillman, who's quite socially awkward, but he decides he wants to get married. And he decides the only way to do this is to draw up a list of attributes that his future wife must have and sort of approach it like a science project. And he does this, and he ends up with the world's most unsuitable woman for him. But somehow they get together, and the book is a sort of amusing story of their life together, I guess.
I absolutely love this. In the same way that I loved Eleanor Oliphant is Completely Fine
exactly.
as well.
Yes, exactly.
I'm a big fan of Uplit. I think yes. that there's some really wonderful, dark, brooding stories out there, but sometimes you need something like The Rosie Project to just kind of lift
yeah.
you.
I mean, that was a book that Isabel and I were both given at London Book Fair the year it came out. And we both met each other for the next day's meetings looking slightly heavy-eyed, because neither of us had been able to put it down. We'd actually sat and read it half the night.
It is a fast read and a fun read.
Yeah.
Have you read The Rosie Effect as well?
Yes.
There's a sequel,
yes.
which continues yep. the relationship. And funnily enough, Graham was at the Litfest a couple of years ago. In fact, I think it was 2015.
I think you're right.
And he said that people who loved The Rosie Project were very divided on The Rosie Effect, because they liked it so much. They didn't want to... I don't want to give anything away about what happens in The Rosie Effect, but he was saying, again, people either loved or hated Rosie Effect as well, because of what he did to the couple. He puts the couple under stress in the second book and sees how they react to that.
I do like it when books divide people. I think it makes for better book club discussion. So in a way, I think The Rosie Effect might be a better book club choice than maybe the Rosie Project.
I was going to email you and say that actually when I started looking at this, but I thought we should start with the first one.
Yeah, absolutely. Always start with the first one. Okay, so we have about a minute for you to recommend a second book, which we can continue talking about when we come back. And which would you like to discuss?
I have chosen for my second book, Room by Emma Donoghue.
Oh, that's a good one.
See, I still haven't read Room.
Well, this is what's happened in the book club. So I think I put it into book club. And probably, I don't think everybody read it because some people took it home and said that they just couldn't read it. It was too awkward, too uncomfortable for them to read the subject matter. And I felt the same with the film. I started to watch the film and I couldn't watch it because it was just, it made me feel so horrible.
I think I've heard that and that's partly what's put me off wanting to read it. And speaking of friends, you mentioned The Rosie Project as kind of the first book that you would recommend. And the friend that I was mentioning who I disagreed with about The Rosie Project has actually just texted me. She heard me say it. She knows that I was talking about her. And I remember now because she's just reminded me why she didn't like it was, I think it was just overhyped for her. Everyone was going on and on and on about it. And so she read it. And I think that's happened quite a few times with books that people talk about again and again and again. And it just when you get to read it, it's been overhyped. The same with films. And I'm slightly worried about Room, which is the book that you were talking about a couple of minutes ago, which I think you've got more to say about. I'm slightly worried it's been overhyped for me.
Don't read it then. Simple. I shouldn't say that. I chose it because I actually found it quite uplifting, which is a strange thing to say about a book about a woman held captive in a 5 meter square room. With a child who's been born into that room and has never, ever seen the outside world. I mean, it's quite depressing material, isn't it? But for me, the book was about the triumph of the human spirit and the way that she created this life in this tiny room for her son and made it fun for him. And I don't know, I thought it was quite uplifting, actually.
I would agree. I found it an uplifting read. I do, as Annabelle knows, I do like uplifting books. I'm not greatly into tragic endings, so I enjoyed it. I also like the film, though, I must admit.
Maybe it was because I'd read the book and I just looked at the film and thought, you know what, I don't want to go through this journey again.
Well, there is that. Can I do the emotional roller coaster again? But I would recommend the book as well. Room is a great read by Emma Donoghue.
So the mum, I mean, she's this 5-year-old boy that she's got was born in captivity with her. I mean, it is quite horrible. But the way that she creates a life for him, so they have names for all the objects in the room, like bed, wardrobe, rocker and skylight. And he talks to them as if they're people and his friends. And she tries to do school lessons for him. You know, they have physical education where he has to run sprints like backwards and forwards along the length of the rug and trampoline where he jumps on the bed. And so she's trying to keep him physically active. They have music where they have to bang with a pen or something every object in the room and see which noises that they can produce. And it's quite sweet the way it's done. And it's written from the boy's perspective, by the way. Which adds a whole nother level to it, I think.
It does actually sound brilliant. I think I might actually read it. And hopefully it won't be overhyped.
No, there's a lot in it other than the story. So you see her terrified of getting sick because they have no access to a doctor. And she knows that if she or the child gets sick, that, you know, it could be a huge problem.
I'm surprised because I think when you explain what it's about, it seems like it would be difficult to sustain the interest of the reader for as long as the book is.
Oh, well, stuff happens. I don't want to do any spoilers.
No, there's a lot of suspense.
Stuff happens.
Stuff happens.
You are waiting for stuff to happen.
Yeah.
I love your synopsis there of Room by Emma Donoghue. Stuff happens. Yeah. So what's another book that you would like to recommend?
The next one I want to recommend is called Behind Closed Doors by B.A. Paris. And now, given that it's sold 1 million copies in the UK, you may well have already read it.
No, actually.
Okay. All right. Well, listeners may well have already read it. I gave this book to my mum because I loved it. To me, it was such a page turner. I raced through it. It was one of those books that kept me up at night because I had to finish it. Gave it to my mum. She read the first couple of chapters and said, ugh, meh, not going to read that.
Really?
And I just looked at her and thought, are you my mother? How could this be?
It can't be related. It cannot be. Have you read this one, Yvette?
I have read this one. I think she's it is a woman, isn't it? Yeah.
Sorry?
Yes. Female, yes. Just a mild panic there. Yeah, is a great writer, actually, I have to say.
She does her suspense very well. She does her fast-paced reads really, really well.
What else has she written? I'm just trying to...
She has written... So this was the first. This was her first book. I have read all the others, and I'm now going to embarrass myself by forgetting their names. No, I can't.
It's fine. Don't worry, because I do know. But we'll get there.
We will get there. The Breakdown was number two.
Yeah.
And then Bring Me Back was number three.
Bring Me Back, which is the one I just read. I have it here on my Kindle.
Did you like that?
I did like that.
I liked that a lot too.
Yes. Yes.
But Behind Closed Doors captured my attention particularly because it's about a perfect seeming marriage. And you've got this couple who's a lawyer and a glamorous wife. And they look perfect, but obviously they're not perfect. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a story about it. But just finding out the levels, the depths to which B.A. Paris takes this marriage is absolutely haunting. I still have shivers when I think about the things that happen in that marriage.
It's a really good read.
Yeah.
We've just had a recommendation in from Gavin that sounds absolutely brilliant. It's called, he says, Try Killing It by Asia Mackey. And it's about a working mum who is also a professional assassin. Dark and humorous.
That sounds like Killing Eve, actually.
It does.
Have you watched Killing Eve?
I haven't watched Killing Eve, but it did remind me of that. The description says, for trailblazing women everywhere, every working mum has had to face it. The guilt-fueled, anxiety-filled first day back in the office after maternity leave. But this working mum is one of a kind. Meet Alexis Tyler, an elite covert agent within Her Majesty's Secret Service. I think I might be getting that one.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So Behind Closed Doors was what we were talking about before I went off on a tangent.
Yes, we were, weren't we? Yeah, so some people find it uncomfortable because the marriage is obviously strange. Mm. I don't want to say it's in trouble. It's not a marriage that's in trouble. It's not like they have fallen out of love and want to get divorced. It's very different to that. It's a manipulative situation, which is quite uncomfortable to read. Did you find that a bit?
Very uncomfortable. Yes, it's one that's just like a ooh. I mean,
it's also a book that I can't really say too much about the story without doing
ruining
spoilers.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you, yeah.
I remember reading S.J. Watson Before I Go to Sleep, and that made me... It was a page that made me feel very, very uncomfortable. Does it make you feel uncomfortable in a similar way to that, or is it quite different?
Okay. I think it's more of a voyeur that you feel that you've got, because it's somebody's marriage and it's very, very private and slightly ew.
But it's also massively dysfunctional. Mm-hmm. It's abusive.
Okay.
It's really dark. And I know B.A. Paris, she's a fellow HQ author. We meet up and, you know, have tea sometimes. But she's such a nice, happy, sunny person.
And it's true, actually. When you meet writers, you do, you know, I sort of look at you when I've read your books and think,
I know. Well, all I can say is research a bit. It's research. It's not like...
What's
I always
going
say
on
to B.A. Paris, how do you think of this stuff? And she just says, I don't know. It just comes...
I find it very interesting when you have authors who've written these awful, you know, dark, horrific things and you meet them and they're just kind of sunshine personified.
Yeah, it's interesting, is it? Well, that's the thing. It's fiction, isn't it? It's not autobiography. We make
you
it
have
up.
To hope.
Okay, we have some time for you to recommend another book.
Okay, the next one is called Vox.
I've heard a lot about this. Ooh. And it just immediately makes me think of The Handmaid's Tale.
I haven't read this. Tell me more.
It is very along the same lines as that and The Heart Goes Last by the same author. Whose name I've also forgotten. Honestly,
make
I have
me
a
feel
memory
so
like
much
this.
Same author as The Handmaid's Tale.
Yes, exactly.
Margaret Atwood.
Exactly that one, yes. See, I'm finishing book five at the moment and I have a whole book, 90,000 words, in my head. And
so
it's
pushed all this other stuff out.
I forget little things, you know. So anyway, so it's called Vox and it's by Christina Dulcher. Mm-hmm. And it's set in America where... Funnily enough, a new president comes in.
Oh, okay.
Can't think where she got that idea from. And he decides that he's going to silence the women in America and limit them to 100 words a day that they can speak. 100 words, they have a little counter on their wrist. And when they reach 100 words, it buzzes. And if they don't stop talking, it buzzes increasingly. When I say buzzes, it gives them an electric shock. And if they don't stop talking, that electric shock increases in severity. With quite devastating results. So they all do stop talking at 100 words. And even the children, the girls, have to wear them. And at school, they win prizes if they say no words. So that kind of a society. It's very interesting.
I haven't come across this book at all.
Have you not?
No. There's a huge gap missing. My goodness, I'm going to have to read that now.
Yeah, a lot of people have been talking about it. It's a debut, isn't it?
Yes. It's obviously dystopian and very disturbing because it could easily happen. You can see it happening. This is the scary thing. So the new president has launched a movement called Pure, which wants to put the women back in traditional roles where they're cooking and looking after the husband and the home and not talking too much, not answering back, you know, saving their words to say important things. And you're reading it thinking, oh my gosh, I can actually see it's too believable. That's what's so terrifying about it. Christina, the author, she described it herself. She said, it's no genre, but if you can imagine Ira Levin's The Stepford Wives mashed with Margaret Atwood's The Handmaid's Tale and sprinkle in a little bit of neurolinguistics, you'd be on the right track.
We were talking about scary stories earlier and last week on the show as well, and we were thinking, you know, Dracula, series of unfortunate events, but often it's, because we were talking about psychological thrillers as well, things like Before I Go to Sleep, and this is a perfect candidate for a scary story because, like you say, it's the things that you can see happening that are very close to home.
And the author, she's also a linguistics professor or neurolinguistics.
Right.
And so she also explores the idea that if you have children who aren't allowed to speak, does their language develop inside their brains? And it's about how this government policy will actually limit the brain development of the female children. It's very scary when you look at it like that. She sort of says that there's a golden age at which language is acquired. And if you're not speaking at that time, your language development will be seriously hindered. So it's got huge implications on, there's many levels to this book, as well as being a scary story.
This is Vox by Christina Dulce.
Yes.
Okay.
Christina Dulce. I'm just making a note myself.
Readers recommend.
Now, you've recommended quite a few books so far. Would you mind recapping them for anybody? Because I've got a couple of text messages come in saying, what was the book that you were talking about? So just recap those for
us. Sure. We had The Rosie Project by Graham Simsion.
Mm-hmm.
Behind Closed Doors by B.A. Paris, Room by Emma Donoghue, and Vox by Christina Dulce.
Now, what's the fifth book that you want to recommend?
Number five is not published yet, so obviously I don't think any of
this
you
is a little teaser.
For May 2019 when it comes out. It's called Little Darlings by Melanie Golding, and it says the most unsettling book of the year, and I have to agree that that is a brilliant way to describe it.
I think it's funny that it's called the most unsettling book of the year when it's due for publication in 2019.
That's confidence for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's about a lady who has twins,
mm-hmm.
first babies, and she's exhausted. And she, I don't know how to explain. Can I do a little read for you?
You can do a little read.
It says here, the twins are crying. The twins are hungry. Lauren is crying. Lauren is the mum. Lauren is exhausted, but behind the hospital curtain, somebody is waiting. After a traumatic birth, Lauren is alone on the maternity ward with her newborn twins. Her husband has gone home, the nurses are doing their rounds, and she can't stop thinking about every danger that her babies will now face, which is quite a common thing when you're a mum. You suddenly become very responsible for these little things. And she says, but all new mothers think like that, don't they? But a terrifying encounter in the middle of the night leaves Lauren convinced that someone or something is trying to steal her children. And with every step she takes to keep her babies safe, she sinks deeper and deeper into paranoia and fear. Now, as you're reading it, you don't know if she's got postnatal depression, if she's mentally unwell, or if there is actually something out there trying to steal her children. You just don't know. And that's what makes it such a great book club read for me, because everyone will read it differently, I think. And you're always wondering, is she an unreliable narrator? Or is there something going on here that's a little supernatural? Oh, it's giving me goosebumps.
Sounds great. Good.
I love an unreliable narrator.
Yes. Oh, me too. It is really creepy to the point that I couldn't read it at night. I have to put it away. I couldn't read it in bed before I went to sleep.
Oh, wow.
That's a good sign.
Yeah. Oh, I should look out for that. So that's out next year.
It's out.
So you heard it here first.
Yes, exactly. I thought I wanted to give you a little teaser of something new coming.
So you've given me two new books. You've given me Vox by Christina Doucher, which is the one where women are limited to 100 words.
Yes.
Love the sound 100 of that.
100 words.
And now I've got, to, sorry, 100 words. And see.
Just doubled it there. Yeah. A few electric shocks.
Easily done. And now I'm looking forward to Little Darlings.
Yes.
Is there a connecting theme to any of the books that you've chosen?
Not really. I suppose unreliable. No, there isn't. No, sorry.
Eclectic and random. I like it.
And some are uplifting and some are creepy. And yeah, I like to read lots of different things.
But that's a good book club selection. What do you think makes a good book club book?
For me, well, obviously you have to be able to discuss it. So a book that creates opinion and divides is obviously a good one. But for me, I just look for a good story. Because I believe that, you know, there's so many things competing for our attention these days, electronic media and all the other things, that I want a book that's going to make me want to go to bed early so that I can read it.
Yeah.
Or a book that's going to make me want to draw a bath and take it into the bath and have a good hour's soak while I'm reading it. So to me, a good story is the first thing that it has to be. Because if it's not good, what's the point in reading it?
Mm. Absolutely agree. Couldn't agree more.
Life is too short.
Yeah. I've written down here because I made some notes. I don't have the headspace or the time to drag through a book that I'm not understanding or enjoying. So if it's super clever and, you know, you get kudos for reading it, I'm not interested really, unless it's telling me a good story that grabs me by the heart and makes me think, gosh, you know, what if that actually happened, or what if that happened to me, or that kind of thing.
And for a book club, it is good if it can provoke debate.
Yeah.
And if you read it, you think, oh, you know, I don't think everybody would like this. So, you know, there has to be that sort of element of it was not my cup of tea, as well as I think it was brilliant. So,
The book I read in isolation, which I think we've mentioned on the show before, which I thought I wish I'd read this as a book club, was Little Fires Everywhere by Celeste Ng, because you read that and you immediately know, because it's about things like, you know, motherhood and different ways of parenting and people from different backgrounds and suburbia and what lies behind perfection. You can just see it as you're reading it that there are people who are going to disagree with you, and it's going to make great discussion fodder. So I always regret that I didn't actually talk to anybody about it after I read it.
Oh, I haven't read it, but someone recommended it to me on my Facebook or my website the other day, saying that their book club has just read that. So I'll look for that one, definitely. In fact, I've seen it in the bookshops. I just haven't read it.
Was there a book that you remember being particularly divisive in one of your book clubs of it?
In a short answer, no. Only in the, you know, enjoy or not enjoy, rather than the actual content provoking extreme debate. I think the way that the book club that Annabelle is involved in runs is quite nice, actually, because there you are sort of doing what we're doing now, in fact.
Yeah.
Saying, this is a really good book. Yeah, and oh yeah, I read that. So really, I think what we've been doing is more or less what happens at the book club.
Oh, now, there was one book that divided our book club. Do you remember Girl on the Train? And do you remember the lady
that was before I joined, actually, but yeah.
I don't know if I can name people, but one of our members hated it so much.
She annotated it. It kept coming back. She felt it was, on the basis that she felt it was badly written and constructed and all those things.
Yeah, so she'd put post-it notes saying, I cannot believe that she's saying this. That was hilarious, because obviously it was a very popular book and did exceedingly well. But this particular lady hated it and would get quite passionate about it at book club, wouldn't she?
I think it's amazing that she went to the effort of putting in post-its and making comments on why she didn't like every single bit that she didn't like.
She felt very strongly.
She did.
Okay, one final recap of all the books that you've spoken about. For anybody who's just tuning in, Annabelle Cantaria is a writer, but she's got her reader hat on today, and she's recommending a wide range of books that you might find interesting.
The Rosie Project by Graham Simsion. Behind Closed Doors by B.A. Paris, Room by Emma Donoghue, Vox by Christina Doucher, and Little Darlings by Melanie Golding, which is not out until May 2019.
And I think the one thing that connects all these is that they are great stories that you will not want to put down. So if that's the kind of book that you like, those recommendations are probably excellent for you. Thank you so much, Annabelle, for coming into the studio.
Oh, thank you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcast at DubaiEye1038.com.